Now, the message I have today, I don't want you to be thrown by the title of it or even some of its content. I had to be a little graphic in order to get the point across. I hope you'll understand that. Okay, I've entitled my message, "He Beat the Hell Out of Me." He beat the hell out of me. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get on with the message. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to deliver this message. I pray, Lord, you'd give me utterance. And I ask, Lord, that those who listen, that their ears would be unstopped and that their hearts would be open and receptive to what is said. And when all is said and done, Lord, may thou be glorified through it. For I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, here we go into this message. You know, as a child growing up in a sort of a violent world, I guess, not as violent back then as it seems today, or whenever some bully would say, "Hey, I'm going to beat the hell out of you." Ooh, heard a lot of that. Well, what he was really saying was, "I'm going to beat the crap out of you. I'm going to beat the crap out of you." Now, as a child, and not realizing the true difference between the two methods, and thinking maybe one hurt more than the other, well, I was faced with an important decision. But first, I had to know which method would hurt the most. Now, if I had been taught more about how much hell hurt and how long the pain lasted, then the decision of which punishment to take from that bully who was dying to annihilate me would be a lot easier to make. I heard that beating the crap out of one was just a manner of speech. Although a friend of mine chose this option, and when he got home, his mama gave him another flogging for having dirty underwear and a black eye to boot. By now, this brute of a bully was ready to pounce on me, and I was shaking so bad my feet was hardly touching the ground. So I told him as plain as I could. I said, "Mr. Bully, if you beat the hell out of me, then when I get home, my mama's going to beat the crap out of me. All this really means is I won't have to worry. I won't have to worry none about going to hell with dirty drawers." Now I ask you, isn't that how it's been down through the ages? Huh? Someone always wanted to beat the living hell out of you. For some reason or other, they wanted to beat the hell out of you. But then I guess someone let that proverbial cat out of the bag by saying, "There ain't no real hell." Oh. First it started with Billy Graham and Robert Schuller, then Pope John Paul. He jumped on the bandwagon. Then a bunch of other preachers jumped up atop the new evangelical bandwagon too. And before you know it, we finally got ourselves a new religion. That's what happened. A new religion. A place where there ain't suffering in hell. Man, that sure sounds good. If it were true. Just think of what that would mean if there weren't no literal hell. Well, first of all, the wicked would not be turned into hell, because there's no place to turn. Psalm 9:17 would be stricken from the scriptures. The sorrows of hell could not compass me about, according to Psalm 18, verse 5. They wouldn't be able to, or you wouldn't be able to make your bed in hell, like the Word of God says in Psalm 139, verse 8. Hell and destruction are never full. And what about Isaiah 5, verse 14? Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Well, that's not just possible, is it? How can something that does not exist enlarge itself? Mm-hmm. In Matthew 5, verse 22, or rather, Matthew 5, verse 22, would have to be extracted. It would say, the fool shall be in danger of hellfire. That's what it says. The fool shall be in danger of hellfire. And what about Matthew 5, verse 29? The Word of God says, the whole body should be cast into hell. The whole body cast into hell. Throw that out. And what about Matthew 23:33, which says, can ye escape the damnation of hell? What are you going to do with that? And there are lots more references about hell. You know, Jesus spoke more on hell than he did about heaven when he walked this earth. There's more, oh, there's much more. In fact, like I said, Jesus reiterated the things about hell more so than heaven. Why do you suppose he did that? Huh? Is the answer not obvious? Is it not obvious? I mean, can you imagine a bully coming up to you and saying threatening words like, I'm going to beat the living heaven out of you. Or, may your soul rot in heaven. Doesn't make any sense. Why don't we hear that? I'll tell you why. Because this world belongs to the devil. And the devil belongs to hell. And he knows his end is in the lake of fire. And he plans to take a bunch of us with him, a big bunch. And it's getting bigger every day. Yes, it is. I'll tell you one thing. The God that saved me from self-destructing many years ago has been an adventure only the human soul could understand. Yes, he has. The reason people do not listen and obey the word of the Lord, I believe, is because they have no fear of the Lord or fear of hell. Jesus speaks so often about it. They've simply lost the fear of a literal hell. And the reason they've lost that fear is not only because of the Graham John Paul effect, but because today's modernized preachers rarely, if ever, mention this place of torment called hell. And if they do, well, it's glossed over like an afterthought. God is not willing that any should perish. Not any. That's why he gave his pastors. That's why he gave us evangelists. To preach his word that they should not go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And if anyone tells you it's easy to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's easier to believe in Peter Pan or Mary Poppins than it is to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. At least Peter Pan and Mary Poppins were fun and made you feel good. The gospel of Christ is not fun. And it certainly doesn't make you feel good. It makes you do good. Do good. Do you understand that? Do you? Think of what you're believing. The only begotten Son of Almighty God is told by his own Father that he has to come to this sin-cursed earth to be beaten and humiliated and nailed to a cross. And for what? To save our miserable souls. From what? From the hell you are told does not even exist. There was a day when Baptist fundamentalist churches We're adding more pews and chairs. But now, they're taking them out and closing their doors. And they've become the laughing stock of their community. Fundamentalists? Don't they believe in a literal Bible? And that the King James is the only Bible there is? That's real? That's the true Word of God? Ooh. There was a day when the King James 1611 Bible was all the rage. And multitudes were being saved because they believed in the preserved Word of our living God. There was a day when godly preachers dwelled upon the Scriptures for hours at a time. Today, the apostate preachers may squeeze in maybe 10 minutes. Today, most megachurches win their masses over with entertainment and personal thank yous for all you have done to make it a better church. And if they can, then they may preach 10 or 15 minutes, or at least talk. There was a day when men, women, and even children wore nothing but their Sunday best when entering the house of our Lord. Today, you'd think many of them came to do physical labor. Even the pastors have taken leave from their sense of godly values. It's one thing to sit in a pew wearing Saturday's worst. It's another to mount the podium of Jesus Christ looking like the Shah of Garbage Town. How dare we stand before presidents and queens in our best bib and tux, then stand before the King of Kings wearing our scrubbies. How dare we? Have we no class? My apologies to the poor, for I speak not of them. Then we come to the aisle walkers. The aisle walkers? Those who walk the aisles? But first, we need some mood music. Get you in the mood. Maybe get a little tear flowing here and there. And don't forget to look distraught. Oh, yeah, look distraught and totally forlorn. Even quiver and shake a bit. Of course, a few extra tears wouldn't hurt. Finally, when you reach the podium, it's time to repeat after me. Bull! Bull! It's time to lay your all on the altar of Jesus Christ. That's what time it is. It's a heart thing. It's not repeat these words. It's the giving of your all in total belief the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even if you don't say a single word, it's time to repent. It's time to believe. It's the heart that God looks upon. The heart. Why is that so hard to understand? You tell everyone else you believe that you're a true Christian. The truth of the matter is, you don't have to tell them a thing. You will be known by your fruit. You will grow up before Him as a tender plant. You will be in Christ, and He will be in you. You are a child of the King, the King. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And if anyone tells you that you can have weekends off, either because you worked hard or went to school all week, doesn't have a clue what Jesus Christ went through. If you have to work, you have to work. But don't use it as an excuse. If you're not really working. Oh, with our Sunday morning service, well, we have quite a crowd in there. But come Sunday night, we got a handful in there. What happened to these Christ believers? These saved people? Oh, they're home watching the ball game, or they're home watching a football game, or they're home watching their favorite movie. They didn't want to miss it. Wow. Jesus came to this sin-cursed earth in human form so that he could die in human form. He didn't walk about like some hard rock playing tricks with his miracles. He didn't raise the dead because he had nothing better to do. He didn't cause the blind to see so they'd know what he looked like. He didn't ride into a town on a donkey because he had sore feet. He didn't let them nail him to a cross just to see how tough he was. And he didn't die to show you he could rise again from the dead. No. No. This same Jesus walked among men that the world might know him. This same Jesus fed the poor and healed the sick and the blind and even raised the dead, not because of who he was, but because of who he was from. This same Jesus, the Lamb of the living God, in his humanity, endured the fiery darts of Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane. Read it. And even questioned his own father to take the cup from him because he was so compassed about with evil, yet held the course. He held his course. It was the same Jesus whom they spat upon, the same Jesus whom they whipped the hell out of when there was no hell in him. It was the same Jesus whom they placed the crown of thorns upon and mocked with great bitterness. The same Jesus who held his tongue and uttered not a word in his own defense, even though he was innocent. The same Jesus who lay in total submission upon the cross of wood and allowed the Roman soldiers to pierce his hands and feet, that he might be bound unto death. The same Jesus who died a most horrible death. The same Jesus who shed the blood of forgiveness for a lost and dying world. And the same Jesus was God in the flesh, and upon him was placed the sin of the whole world. He didn't have to be born in a stable, but he wanted to identify with the lowly world he came to. He wasn't just a carpenter's son. No, he was the carpenter. He wasn't just the Son of God. No, he was God. He became what he was not to save what he begot. He became what he was not to save what he begot. This book, the Holy Bible, this book that I hold in my hand is the preserved Word of God. Read it. Read Psalms 12, 6 and 7. Read it for yourself. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven times, that's the number of perfection. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Forever. People have a hard time understanding what forever is. Well, you'll find out when you're forever in the fires of hell. Then you'll know what forever is. It was written by men of old as they were driven by God. Over the centuries, the Bible has been loved and cherished. It's been the wind beneath our wings. It's been the light in a world of darkness. Between its covers, the fingers of God have directed its penmen. It has met with many fates. It's been cut in pieces. It's been burned with fire. It's been cast into the deepest sea. and yet it remains intact. Just the way God first wrote it. Today, the Holy Bible is the most undesirable, yet the best loved book that has ever, ever been written. It tells us who we were. It tells us who we are. It tells us what will become of us. There are hundreds of other so-called Bibles out there, but they don't hold a candle to the 1611 King James Authorized Version, which is the true Word of God, this Bible I hold up before you. They're counterfeit. They're corrupt. They'll be added to the fire in the pit. Oh, hold them dear if you want. But one day, these counterfeit Bibles that you hold so dear, one day they will beat the crap out of you. But this one here, the Word of God, this one alone will beat the hell out of you. God bless you.